I'd invite you to take your Bible and look with me in Matthew chapter 9, and my text is from verse 14 down to verse
17.
I am doing a series of messages on the parables. And in this particular chapter, Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 17, we have the parable of things old and new. We all have things in our possession that are both old and new. No matter how new something was when we first purchased it and brought it to the house, eventually it wears out and needs to be replaced. And this is the parable here that we find our Lord Jesus Christ giving with regard to all of the old customs and traditions from the law that he now was coming to replace or fulfill by his work of righteousness. Here in verse 14, it says, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?
In
verse 15, Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast.
Ndipo Yesu anati kwa iwo, nanga anyamata anyumba ya ukwati, angatsegulira kodi nthawi imene mkwati akhala nawo, koma adzafika masiku pamene mkwati adzachotsedwa kwa iwo, ndipo pomwepo adzasala kudya.
So here then is the parable that he gives in verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. So things old and new. Here's a picture of an old garment that is torn, but you don't take and try to patch it with a new piece of cloth.
And
then in verse 17, a second illustration. The Lord says, neither do men put new wine, here it says, into old bottles. That word bottles is actually wineskins. Else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved.
Matumba akale kapena matumba aphulika ndi vinyo ataika ndi matumbawo aonongeka koma achira vinyo watsopano matumba atsopano ndi zonse ziwiri zisungika.
So if you read the first verses leading up to these verses, you'll see that our Lord Jesus Christ is going from place to place, preaching himself as the Redeemer who was to come. According to the Old Testament, he was healing the sick, and he was identifying with sinners.
Anali kuenda tumalo ndi malo kudzifotokozera yekha kuti yeyo ndiye muomboli amene wabwera kutsiko la pansi tifayeka anali kuchirisa odwala ndi kuenda kulalikira.
This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, of whom I am chief.
Ichiti tifayeka Ambuyeso anabwera kutsiko la pansi kukapulumusa munthu ochimwa mmeneso ngakhale Paulo ananena kuti mwayi ochimwa ine ndine wamkulukulu wa ochimwayo.
And he was calling out different ones that these self-righteous Pharisees looked upon as being ones that he should not even identify with. For example, in verse 9 of this chapter, Matthew 9:9, when he passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Matthew was a tax collector. These are ones they called publicans. And it wasn't just that he was collecting taxes. He'd have his table sitting right at the entrance of the city, and these were all over the place. So that when people brought their goods to market, they were stopped, and they had to pay these publicans a tax that was to be given to the Roman government. And they were looked upon by the people as very evil because, first of all, they were Jews who were working for the Roman government and collecting taxes from the Jews, and they hated that. But also they were very corrupt men because they always overtaxed. They knew how much they had to give to the Roman government. And yet they themselves lived off of what they gathered, and so they always charged more and kept a lot for themselves and enriched themselves. But here was one, even as evil as he was, who was the Lord's. The Lord saw him, it says in verse 9. Jesus passed from thence and saw him and called him. That's what he does with sinners.
Ndipo akationa koma munthu wina amene tu ali wachimwa koma ali wake wa Ambuye amene Ambuye Yesu anadusa kumene koko namuitana munthu amene ndi wochimwa.
So this made the Jews already upset with the Lord Jesus Christ. They already disagreed with him as being the Son of God, and yet now those he was calling to himself did not line up with their view of who it is should be considered to be children of God.
Mm-hmm. komanso amakaona ntundu wa anthu amene iye amagwirizana nawo ndikumawayitana kumakadya nawo kunena kuti ndi anthu ochimwa ndifanika amene kuti amene sangakhale mwana wa mulungu ayi.
In fact, to make matters worse, in verse 10 of Matthew 9, worse for them, it says, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples.
Nyumba onani amisonkho ndi ochimwa ambiri anadzana akhala pansi pamodzi ndi Yesu ndi ophunzira ake.
Do you see how this view of the Lord Jesus Christ goes against how men think that he should act?
Ndino mukuonano mmene maganizo a anthu maganizo a Yesu anali osiyana kwambiri ndi maganizo anthu pamene anthu amalingalira kuti Yesu yachita motani kwa anthu pamene.
Most people today believe and think that somehow they're supposed to clean themselves up and present themselves as pure before God, and then God will save them. That's their reasoning. That's their thinking. But the Lord Jesus Christ made it plain that he did not come into the world to save the righteous or those that see themselves as righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. We know that if the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to himself by his Spirit, that he has made us to see our wretchedness and to know that we are nothing but wretched before him. And yet it is for such sinners as we are that the Lord Jesus Christ came to pay the sin debt and to work out that righteousness on their behalf. But this Jesus, as we see set forth in the Word, is an offense to those who think that it's by their works of righteousness that they'll be accepted before God. He was an offense to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. They had all of these traditions and ways of purifying themselves that they thought the Lord Jesus should approve of, and he didn't. There are no works of righteousness that any of us can do that are going to bring satisfaction to a holy God. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, the prophet Isaiah said this about our righteousnesses, put them all together, anything that we consider to be righteous, he considers them as nothing but filthy rags. He says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, I emphasize that because, again, we're looking at things old and new. If anybody thinks that somehow they're going to put some confidence in their works or their righteousnesses, then it is nothing but filthy rags, old rags that are worthy only to be thrown out.
Ndero monga mire tukuyangana hapa zintu zakale ndiza sopano tiona kulinga kulinga mtu wina wake atakala ndika nchito kena kenda pena machitu ena amena kozo mamu limbisa ntima kumaona ngati pali chitu chonsa ngati chosangala sa mulungu mwayeyo azwe zinda kuti zimena kwesa nzo sangala sa zu ndizi nzo kwanda hapa maluma ze zima kumuru za ye.
And therefore, as sinners before God, that's all we are, corrupt, putrid, old, sinful, rags.
Ndipo apatiwo amawa ationesa bwino kunena kuti ifeyo pamaso pa Mulungu ndife anthu achinyengo, anthu ofunda, anthu onyansa, nsango zoyipa.
But coming back to my text here, Matthew 9, in verse 11, you'll see this is what offended the Pharisees. That word Pharisees means the purists. They saw themselves as pure before God.
Ndipo tikabwerera mutengo wathu kubula Mateyo 9:11 tiona kuti zimwe zinakakhumukisa afarisi kwa afarisiwo amaziyesa okha kuti ndoyera pamaso pa Mulungu.
It says when the Pharisees saw it, when they saw our Lord Jesus Christ sitting down and drawing sinners to himself, they asked this question of the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?
Neno akuti ndipo afarisi pakuona ichi chimene kwana chiona acho ndi paja pamene ambuyesu anadzikokera anthu ochimwa ndi amisonkhwa jana sonkhana kwa iyeyo ndi akukabwera sopano kukafunsa anabwera ndifunsa kuti tifaninji mphunzisi wanu apakafunsa kuphunzira tifaninji mphunzisi wanu ali nkudya pamodzi ndi amisonkho ndi ochimwa.
You can see already in verse 11 that they had no place themselves at this table with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they approached the disciples. They couldn't take their place as sinners before him. And that's when the Lord said in verse 12, but when Jesus heard, they're not even talking directly to him, but he knows their thoughts and he knows their heart. When he heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So here they were busy about establishing their own righteousness, never perceiving their own need as sinners, as sick before God. And that's why he told them in verse 13, go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When he said there, quoting from the Old Testament, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, the law condemned them. And so what the Lord is showing is that even in the law, God purposed to show mercy through those sacrifices. Here they were busy about their, here it says not sacrifice, the Lord required sacrifice of animals, the blood sacrifice, but here it's talking about their labors and attempts by their works and offerings to appease God. But he said that's not why the law was given. The law was given that the mouth might be stopped and every man found guilty before him, and that the only hope be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ndetu antu awawa amakakhala otanganidwa ndi kumagwira ntchito zawo kumaka panyama ndi kumapereka nsembe chimene chimapangidwa ndi manja awo ngati ntchito za manja awo zimene amakapereka nsembezi. Nde Ambuyeso tsopano akubwera kukawawuza kunena pamene ndakwera ineyo nsembe zidzathesedwa pakuti chimene chinafunika ndi ineyo Yesu Khristu.
So here's the context then for which the Lord begins to teach his disciples about things old and new.
Ndiyo pamene panayambira tsopano nkhani kuti Ambuyeso ayambe kuwaphunzitsa ophunzira ake pa zinthu zakale ndi zatsopano.
And you can see in verse 14 that these disciples were becoming distracted by these Pharisees who were trying to put a divide between them and Christ.
Chifamu kamaona mundimeka 14 momuona anazonena kuti ophunzira awa anayamba kusokonezeka chifukwa cha afarisi amene amabwera ndi maganizo awo kuti awasokoneze ophunzira aja ndi ambuye wawo Yesu Khristu.
They even got caught up in the hypocrisy, caught up with the false thinking of the Pharisees.
Iwo anafika pomayamba kumatengeka ndi maganizo awo kopa kupa afarisi aja.
See, their eyes were not on Christ at this time because they came to him, verse 14, the disciples of John saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast? This is talking about John the Baptist, those that were following him, but thy disciples fast not. So here, our Lord takes this opportunity where their eyes were being turned off of him and his work onto fasting and other ceremonies according to the law, and were not looking to him.
Ndetu apa pamene Ambuyeso anakaona ndi kuyamba kulankhula nawo chifukwa anaona zonena kuti maso awo sanaliso pa Yesu Khristu ayi koma mʼmalo mwake anatengeka ndi miyambo ndi machitidwe monga kusala kudya ndi machitidwe ena amene anali kuchitika pakati pawo osati ndi Yesu Khristu.
Now, John the Baptist, though his message was, behold the Lamb of God, yet he did according to the law. You see, he was still one of the last Old Testament prophets. And so, according to the law, he was calling the people to fast in preparation for the coming of Christ. When you go back under the Old Testament, there were certain times and seasons that the Lord himself ordained that the people should come aside and fast. In other words, not eat or drink, but it was to be a time of worship. An example would be in the prophet Joel. If you look back with me, Joel chapter 2 and verses
12 and 13.
Just before the prophet Amos in the Old Testament. But it says in verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. In other words, of judgment.
Chapter 2, chapter 12. akunena kuti ndipo pokweza maso awo ali kutali sanadziwa anakweza mau awo nalira nangʼamba simala yace nawaza fumbi kumwamba ligwe pamitu pawo nakhala pansi pamodzi naye panthaka masiku asanu ndi awiri usana ndi usiku palibe mmodzi ananena naye kanthu popeza anaona kuti kuwawa kwakukulu ndithu.
So John the Baptist was not preaching fasting as a means of righteousness or holiness before God, but rather that it would be, according to the law, a time of humbling of the hearts of the people before this one that God had sent into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees made a work out of it.
Ndipo ngakhale kuti Yohane Mʼbatizi iyeyo samakalalikira zakusala kudya ngati ntchito yachilungamo kapena pali imodzi yonena kuti anthu azilese kuzilungamisa koma makamuonesera monga chilungamo cha munthu wochimwa amene akalungamisidwa mwa iyeyo. Afarisi awawo amakasungabe zinthu izizi monga mwa chilamulo kapena monga mwa mwambo.
We know groups and organizations today that organize days of fasting for the people because they want something in return. They're looking for something that by their works now God is going to approve them. That's not what the scriptures teach about fasting.
Brother,